First Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. And it has to do with a lot of the conversation in the room this morning about how the enemy will bring you to the point, if you don't put a stop to it, he'll bring you to the point of just wanting to give up sometimes. And just pull those blankies up over your head and checking out for a few hours. But this says, I have the NIV here, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. That's no accident. It says the faith. The faith. Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. The faith. There aren't lots of faiths. There's one. The faith. The faith of God. The faith in God. The faith that comes through knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the only faith that works against the attacks of the evil one. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Did you ever think you're the only one? You're not. But it talks about, he goes around prowling as a roaring lion. Doesn't say that he is, but his lies can convince you that he is. But you have to know that the word says that he was defeated when Christ rose from the dead.
Yes. Yes.
He came to destroy the works of the devil. Colossians 1:13 says that he has past tense delivered us, as believers, from all the powers of darkness. He has no authority over us. He has no place over us. But if he can deceive us, if he can lie to us and convince us of his untruthful, quote-unquote, truth that he speaks, it can put us in a place of doubt and unbelief, and it undermines the word, because that's what he's the greatest at. To undermine what the word says. But it says, looking for someone to devour. That tells me that he can't have just anybody. You know, you can look at yourself and say, I'm not his lunch today. Because I'm going to fill myself up with the word. I'm going to know who I am in Christ, and I'm going to know who Christ is in me. And when he comes around to try to sucker me down a rat hole someplace, I'm saying, that ain't happening. It is written. And you better have some word on your lips. Have some word in your heart and speak it out. Because that's what defeats him. That's what keeps him defeated in the life of a believer. Like Jesus said, it is written. He cannot argue with that. When you say that and you really know it in your heart. That's why it's so important. We are a word church. And I love it when you bring your Bibles. Because we open up these Bibles and we read together so that not only do we see it, but we hear it when we read it and when we speak about the scriptures and talk about them, because they're life. Jesus said, my word is spirit and they are life to those who find them. And there's healing. Proverbs chapter 4 talks about the importance of the word. It brings healing. It brings deliverance. It brings salvation. It brings wholeness. It brings wellness. It brings peace. It brings joy. It brings so many things come from the Father through his word. So, it's important that we know that. And it says, resist him. Oh, we got an Andy. Would you come up, please? Would you just come out here? Andy's just the driving big equipment. And I know I couldn't push his stomach. If I try to push on him, it would be really hard because he's not in resistance. I don't want to push too hard. I want you to resist if I try to push him over. See, when the enemy comes to try to push you, to move you off course, to knock you to make a step to the left or the right, it says resist him. That means you don't have to give in. You don't have to let him overpower you because he's greater one falls in you. I'm really good at pushing off the right. You're the kind of guy that might push back. The kind of pushes will give you the kind that push back.
It's
your
shoulder.
Yeah. What's that? Oh, well, it'll be healed now. We'll miss him later. But we have something to resist him with. In a sense, resist him in the faith. that's really important the way that's worded. But it made me also think about Ephesians chapter 6 and 10 through 17, and it talks about the armor of God. Put on the whole armor. Don't go out half naked spiritually and think we're going to win the battle, because we're not. All the armor. And then he talks about, above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench three of the darts of the enemy. Oh, boy. I really swore I didn't bring that funny Bible.
That's what it says. It'll repel three darts.
Nope. No.
That's not what it says? What does it say, Cam?
No.
All the fiery darts. Awesome! Can you imagine? Darts is one thing, but when they're on fire, the flame and start a burning, starting a fire in your life that's gonna wreck something in your life, knowing that that shield of faith will quench them off. That's like having a Holy Ghost fire signature. Toast. Finished. The shield of faith is so important. Think of the Enterprise. Any Star Trek fans from the old series? Remember the Enterprise? Yes, Angie, amen. Remember the Enterprise that cruises through the universe at warp speed, 9 times the speed of light, however fast it. Warp speed, Mr. Scotty. And you know, you see stars flying by, and universes flying by, and the ships cruising, and their enemies are the Klingons. Remember the Klingons? The Klingons are like little demonic spirits. What a prophetic series to describe the life of a Christian. We're going warp speed through God's creation in our life. These little Klingons come on from time to time, and they want to Klingons. I'm not going to forgive you. All kinds of things that he tries to, and they cling on you. But what happened? The Enterprise would activate the force shield around the ship. We're to activate the faith shield around the ship. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. To activate that force shield, the Klingons will be repelled. They will not be able to attach themselves to us, to influence us, or to occupy us, or to knock us out of orbit, to knock us off course, wherever course your life is fixed in the Lord and being led and guided by His Spirit. The Klingons cannot come and attach themselves to you and influence you if you activate the shield of faith, the faith shield, just like the Enterprise had the force shield for the Klingons. I just saw that so many years ago, and every once in a while I like to remind the enemy that we're on to him. We don't have to give him any glory, because he tried that once. He's doomed for all of his existence now. All he can do is grovel on his face, crawling in the sand in the dust of the earth. And that's why every once in a while you get your markers out and write Jesus on the bottom of your shoe. So that every time he turns his, oh no! It's like Superman and Kryptonite. Jesus is Kryptonite to the devil. Hallelujah. I don't know if it's green or not, but it works. Anyway, greet each other with a hug. Ah, refreshing. Did you drink all that in? Yes? It's living water. Thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. We've been teaching the 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we've come through 6 of the 9. Now we're down to the power gifts. Healings, miracles, and faith. Those 3. We talked about how a person may receive their healing, about how it can come suddenly, like Brad when he was praising and worshiping the Lord, and just it was there all of a sudden. There's so many different ways. You could probably all have a testimony perhaps of experiencing these things. Praise and worship, preaching of the word, response to somebody praying for you.
response to you believe in God for yourself when you can't find someone, another person to pray with you. And I don't know, at this very moment I'm having a flashback to David in the caves, hiding, fleeing from King Saul. And David couldn't sign up on the sign-up list back there to get a CD of the morning service. He couldn't tune into the Light Radio Network to hear a few songs of praise. Couldn't get any good teaching tapes. Probably weren't too many books hiding in a cave. And he said, I encouraged myself in the Lord. Each one of us has to come to that place where it's not about all of the things that we have as tools to get us to that place, because they're very nice and we're very blessed and very, very generous of the Lord to provide so many of these resources for all of us. But there are times when we're going to have to come to this place where it's going to have to be you and the Lord believing for you. I love to pray with people. I love to pray for people. I'm learning to text a little better, so give me grace to grow. My thumbs are still big and the little numbers are so small, but I'm gaining. You can pray with people in a text form. You can write the prayer. You can send an email if you're halfway around the world. So many ways. We talked about various types of healing in the Bible. We talked about man's spirit. That's what being born again is all about. We are born again of a new spirit. We're born of Adam's sin spirit, if you will. That's why we always have to teach our children to do right, because they're born already knowing to do wrong. So we know that that's true. But the new birth changes. It gives us a new spirit. And so that is the healing that takes place there. It's the reconciliation of God extending reconciliation to the humans he created, us wayward ones. Maybe some of you never strayed. I grazed in a lot of pastures growing up. And after I got saved, I realized I needed to pray for a crop failure in some of those areas. Man's soul, that's your mind, your will, your intellect, your feelings and emotions. Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are bruised. There's a lot of things that a person can be hurt or wounded in their spirit down inside. And maybe one day you'll get an email like our sister did that brings healing. It just touches that spot of you that nobody else knows is there. But yet, he knows. And you can be healed of oppression, depression, sadness, needing some joy, needing encouragement, needing for someone to come across your path to bring you words of grace and kindness, words that lift you up and build you up. Those all produce healing in the soulish realm. Now we got the earth suit, man's body, and his healing for our bodies as well. And it came with the atonement at the cross. And theologians in general believe in only one type of healing, and that's spiritual healing. And that's the reconciliation of a lost soul to the Father. But I think you'll find as you search and you study Jesus' ministry, you're going to find some amazing scriptures that you may have looked over in a Bible reading plan or a devotional and maybe only had 5 minutes to read that day, and you're trying to squeeze in a whole chapter or something. And it's easy to overlook a scripture that's just kind of sandwiched in there with the rest of them. And I'd like to start with Matthew 8:17, because I think that this is really, really important, and it has to do with Jesus' ministry. And I got to read 16 along with it. When the evening was come. In India, that's when we went to all the little villages. Because after the heat of day, many workers were out plowing with their oxen or their water buffalo, tending their crops. Some were hunters. Many were farmers. Many worked in the forest. And it's very hot there in the daytime, but in the evening, because we were near the equator and the southern tip of India, we're only 600 miles north of the equator. April is the fire month, but that's the month I always like to go because I got tired of looking at all this in the parking lot and said, I'm out of here for a while. See you in 2 weeks. And we'd go out to the villages. Usually we'd leave about 5:30 in the afternoon because it would take, you could almost walk faster than drive. The roads were so horrible. But that was the time when the men had come in from the fields and they would fill one little house with 40, 45 people, all sitting cross-legged on the floor, if they had a floor. Most were dirt. Or they would put these, like a braided little really thin mat. If you did outside meetings, they would bring grain sacks to sit on because they don't have chairs to accommodate a larger place. And I just share verses of scripture like this. Most of the people were Hindu. Many of them weren't saved yet. There was a few that were saved. And it was phenomenal. The numbers of people that I saw personally, eyewitness accounts of all of these things that we're talking about that are in the Word. But this scripture, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Not three that got a gold star in Sunday school class last week. That's what my funny Bible says. Okay? So I won't promise it. I won't use it from time to time because it's a really good tool to have so that you can see what the devil will tell you but what God tells you. And it says, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself, and he's talking about Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And under the word our, I underlined those two places, took our infirmities, and I put my. Because God is no respecter of persons. And we already read that Peter wrote that God has already, past tense, given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Is healing and wholeness and wellness part of life? It is, isn't it? And the quality of life. Jesus said the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I am come that you have life and have it more abundantly. I like that verse because abundant is great, but more is better. I'm one of these people. I'm a glutton for God's promises. I know I've read this more than 8,000 of them. I haven't found them all yet. But every time I find one, I clutch onto it. But first I bring it and share it with you because we share the treasures of heaven together. That's what the word is like. We break it open and it is filled with treasure. So I took my little pen and I wrote my under my infirmities and my sicknesses. And then as I grew in my faith, I come to realize, no, they're not mine. As soon as I say my sickness, my arthritis, my this or my that, I've laid claim to it. And now I've got a battle on my hands to get rid of it because I've claimed it instead of letting Jesus claim it. My Bible says he took my infirmities. And he bare my sicknesses. So that tells me right there in the work of the cross, one work destroyed all the works of the devil. Sickness and disease doesn't come from the Lord. It's evil and it didn't come from him. And we should look at it the same way. We're to abhor that which is evil. Sickness and disease is not a good thing. And if we think it is, we're buddying up to the wrong author of those things. Matthew 8:17, 1 Peter 2:24. And Peter is looking back to the cross. These letters were written, Peter's letters were about 60 A.D., so he was quite elderly, probably in his 80s maybe, so. But he was looking back to the cross. Isaiah was looking 760 years into the future when Christ would die on the cross. Peter was looking back 60 years. And he said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes? You what?
Were.
If I were, then I is, right? Then I am. If you were, then you are. See, it's not a future event. And I think a lot of times when you really start line by line, verse by verse, and you start going through a lot of the doctrines that many of us are very familiar with, you can find the really solid ones and you can find the ones that are maybe a little iffy, but the Word always has preeminence over how I feel about a situation, how I think about it. And no matter what I have to say, I can't ignore the truth. And then I would just start praying for these people in India. They always, like I told you, they just sit, and they're just so many. You've seen some of the pictures I brought back. They can maybe squeeze 40 in a little hut. And then I think I'm almost done praying for them, and I go outside, and somebody's gone ahead and brought all the other sick people from the village, and they're all waiting outside because they can't fit in the house. It's an amazing thing. And how many of them, out of childlike faith, some of them have Hindu Bibles, some have Bibles written in their village languages. There's many, many languages. But those that read can read with me. And suddenly hope springs forth in their hearts. Suddenly faith rises up because somebody finally came and brought them some good news. Many of those little villages, there's no doctors. They have witch doctors. I've seen the results of witch doctors. They bring these herbs and smoke and they blow it in people's faces. And nothing happens because witch doctors didn't come from God. That's why they call them witches. Duh. No clinics, no medicines. We went to 3 villages once to try to find some aspirin for Pastor Sherrard. From his beating as a young man out of Bible college, they beat him almost dead and left him for dead. And now in his older age, he can hardly walk because some of those wounds, he has to stand in resistance. The ligaments and tendons were all beaten and smashed with bamboo rods in his legs, his knees, his arms, his elbows. Every place you could get beaten and not break bones, he was beaten. And he was hurting. And he asked, did you bring any aspirin? And I says, no, I don't usually bring any kind of medicines because if I bring some, there's never enough to give everybody some. And if they find out that you brought something for one and they didn't get any, I can't tell you the pandemonium that would happen. Because there's none of those things there. But they'll believe this book. And nobody's taught them some of these things. They know about anointing with oil. I don't know where they learned that. But it's been happening for generations. Even in the Old Covenant, there was anointing with oil. It's just been in the generations of peoples before us. They connected that with healing. If I'll be anointed with oil, I'll be healed. They understand it isn't the oil, it's what it represents. And it's a point of contact for people to release their faith. I prayed they'll bring little flasks of cooking oil, which is really melted lard, because a lot of them just have farm animals and they bring whatever they have. I don't anoint them with it, but they want me to pray for the oil so that when they go home to their villages, they can take that oil with them and pray for their sick. I usually bring one of my little bottles and then I leave it. I take it full and I leave it there because I know that tradition has been for generations. I always study about where I'm going and try to find out not only the political climate, but what is it really like there, so that I can kind of go with some preparation and some understanding. How does healing come? Next section. I can show you where it comes by the word. He sent his word and healed them. We're going to look at scriptures like the centurion servant, where he didn't really want Jesus to come to his house, but he said, "Speak the word and my servant will be healed." And you look a little further in the text, and there's another reference to that man. He began to amend from the selfsame hour, the same hour that Jesus spoke. We're going to look at scriptures where Jesus didn't pray. Not always. He would speak the word. He would speak to a spirit and command it to come out in the name of Jesus. He didn't ask God to remove it. And we're going to come all the way down through this where the Great Commission to the church was given. It's the exact ministry of Jesus. Everything he did, we're not suggested to do it. Commanded to do it. Because how's anybody going to know what he's like if you take scriptures and quote them and say Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever, but he doesn't heal anybody anymore. He doesn't deliver anybody anymore. Times have changed. I can't wait for Tom to come back and share when he tried to have a foot washing in the new church he's attending. Oh my goodness. That didn't fly too well. But that'll be his story. That was just an email I got this week, and I really felt almost brokenhearted about that. We don't do that anymore. Come to India with me and we'll talk about it. By the word of God, Psalm 107, verse 20. So we're going to do a little scripture roaming. This is just kind of going to be a little brief coming attractions. Psalm 107, if you open up your Bible right in the middle, you'll come to Psalms and Proverbs. In my case, they're falling out, so I put them in wherever they fit. As long as I don't lose them, we're good. My other Bibles fell apart in those places too. Psalm 107. Verse 20. Oh my goodness. Wow! I never saw part two. That was in my funny Bible. Was left out. He sent his word, and what happened? Who's the word?
Jesus.
He sent him. And what happened to sick people when he came? Woohoo! And look at that, look at the next. And delivered them from their destructions. Man, I was on a path to destruction big time. Drugs, alcohol, partying, driving, and all that stuff. All the times I came that close. And he came into my life. And he delivered me from all of that. All of it. It doesn't have a hold on my life anymore. It's not part of the new Rick. I've not always been a nice, mild-mannered Clark Kent, laid-back, kind of quiet preacher guy in the church. I don't get too rowdy often, you know. A little feisty once in a while, but, you know, you've given me a lot of grace over the years, and I appreciate that. But I haven't always been this way. Ask Faith. We've known each other a lot of years. But when things like this happened, and people would try to talk me out of it that God doesn't do that anymore, I just wanted to whack them with a brick in love, because I learned we have to do this in love. So I'd want to wrap the brick up so it wouldn't cause a big abrasion. Maybe just a good thumping to knock some sense into their heads. That's the flesh, okay? That's Rick's thinking. But it's too late for me to be convinced otherwise. If you've been touched and healed of the Lord, if you've been blessed and ministered of the Lord, there is no devil in hell ever going to talk you out of it. You know that you know that you know. I mean, because it's down in your spirit. It happened. It's real. And it's okay to be feeling your healing. You feel the pain, why not feel the heal? You know, feel the burn, forget the burn. Oh, a little... Oh. Better put that book away too, huh, Brad? Woohoo! Proverbs 4, verse 20. While you're just go slightly to the right. Come on, Lorraine, cheer me on. Now, you know that's a woohoo moment right there. Proverbs 4:20 through 22. My son, or my daughter, or my children, hear what the Father's saying through Solomon. Always look at God as the one where these words originated from, because he's revealing his heart. His word is his heart. Attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. New Testament, Jesus said, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church. The church is the born-again believers. It's not the building we meet in. Each one of us is a temple. Each one of us is a house of worship. We house the Holy Spirit. This is where the Spirit comes to dwell. He was looking for a home. I'm looking for a home because I've been all alone. You know, he's looking for a home. And he finds it in you and in me and all of us collectively. So, he that has an ear to hear, incline your ear unto my sayings and let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. His word. His words, not my words, his words. For they are life unto those that find them. And health to all their flesh. The words in this book are way over 2,000 years. And it's written in the present tense for that very reason, because God is omnipresent. I know we sang the song Ancient of Days, and he's really old, but he's not old. He just is. He's always present, and he doesn't live in earth time. He doesn't have a clock like we have a clock. He's always present. He's present today. Everywhere we go, He's present. God is now. That's why even Hebrews 11:1 starts out, now faith is. It's always in the present. Why? For that very reason. So it says, for they are life. It doesn't say they were life, does it? It says they are life. Look at the word. Each time you pick up your Bibles, your swords, and have a heart that's open to receive life and healing from the power of this word, even just spoken. Read it out loud to yourself. People think you're whacked, so what? Half the world is whacked, and they think the way we think about Christ. Might as well open our mouths and convince them it's true, amen? And then we're speaking words of life. Health to all of their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of these are the issues of life. The heart and the spirit are one. When the Bible talks about the heart of man, He's talking about your spirit, out of which life proceeds. Without the heart, no life. Most people die from heart failure. One stops, click. Guard it. Guard your spirit. Be careful what we take in. Protect it. Mark these if you haven't got them marked, because I can't find a more concise benefit to the word found in just two or three verses, maybe four. Put away from you a froward mouth and perverse lips far from you. Words that are contrary to the word. Don't go around and confess things that are negative to what God's word says. Because it says to put away. Because what happens when we do that is words create. You know, we've done that word teaching several times, and it takes months and months. The power of our words. Think about, if our word is that powerful, think how powerful God's word is. And when we're praying for one another, some of us have learned, and we're all learning as we grow and mature in our faith, to make declarations of faith. Speak words of wholeness. Speak words of wellness. Speak to spirits. Speak to the sickness. Speak to the disease. It has a name. And do something about it. Circumstances can be changed by learning to speak in accordance with the word. And don't pray with somebody and then 10 minutes later, oh, it didn't work. You really got to guard yourself. That's what that verse is about. All that he just said, don't undo it with our words. Because that's real easy to do. If you look and say, nope, it's still there, guess that didn't work. Well, as long as you keep saying it, you'll keep wearing it. That's the serious side of this. I'm supposed to be sober, but not somber. I go to bed at night and my face aches from grinning because I have so much joy in my life since I got saved. And I love to smile and laugh when I'm praying for people because I know the end result generally. And that produces great joy in my heart to know that when we pray, it's not church, it's Christ and the release of His power into a person's life. So we're going to talk about Jesus speaking the word. We're going to talk about laying on of hands, all the different ways in the Bible, casting out demonic spirits, Jesus' disciples laying on of hands in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So we got a lot of exciting things to look at in this one section. So that's why I don't want to, there's no need to hurry. It's good to interject your own personal experiences too. Because once it's happened, then the issue of God's will has been settled. even if you don't do anything about a scratch, except maybe keep it from getting infected, what happens over the course of a few days? Imagine that. We were made to be healed. Think on that. We were made to be healed. The work is already being accomplished. You go to the doctors and they punch holes in you and then sew them up. But how does the skin come back together? How does that wound? If it isn't God's will to heal, then why not just stay home and lay in your sick bed and say, oh, thank you, Lord, for this disease? No. We're taught not to do that. But if you don't believe that it's as well, then why go to doctors? Why go to anybody to be prayed for? See, this comes down to a matter of life and death. There are people in India that died since I left because they couldn't get life-saving antibiotics. No penicillin, none of those things that you guys that work in the hospital know all about. Can't get those things. So the Lord shows them mercy and compassion. And I read in my Bible that Jesus looked out on the multitudes with compassion and healed them all. See, it's a heart issue. When you see hurting sick people, that's the heart of your Father. And He wants to do something about it. Let Him be a vessel. Let Him use you as a vessel. It's not us that do the healing. I couldn't heal a fly. I've laid hands on a lot of flies and they weren't healed, they were dead. Sunday school, Bible studies, bam, a fly on the table, he's toast. Creeping foul things that crawl through dung heaps and then want to come and spread their contamination among us. Ain't happening. I check the light fixtures because they like to come out in the spring and look down on us. Come on, lighten up. Amen. See that? Every time. See, you got to get that word picture. Every time you use the Lord to pray for somebody or maybe have the opportunity to lay hands on a person and release His presence, release the anointing, get a picture of that dead fly. Because that's what's going to happen to that which is causing infirmities. There's always a spirit behind it. And when we start reading a lot of these scriptures about spirits of infirmity, and they manifest with diseases that we've given names to over the years, and learning to speak to those things by its name and call them out, that's very different than when we go to the Father and ask the Lord to remove something. And if you listen very quietly and very attentively in your inner man, He said, that's why you have My Spirit dwelling within you. That's why you have the power and the authority to use My name. Jesus said all those things that He did. He said, the believers that came after that, He said, in greater works will you do because I go into My Father which is in heaven. I go all the way halfway around the world to India. Jesus stayed in one physical place, but His body can go all over the world. Every one of you carry something that's going to help people that are sick or downhearted or brokenhearted or hurting. We are His representation on earth, and I don't think of anything abnormal about that. It seems I understand that very well. So when I have opportunities, I know Jesus went to Ames one time and healed a lady that fell off a ladder and was denied disability. Went and prayed for her in the store, and I never saw so many shoppers stop and stare. You know, most of the time everybody's doing their thing in the store and bumping in the carts or bumping you with carts. But Jesus came to Ames when it used to be in Springfield and healed her that day. She was one of my greatest mockers at work. Faith and I had a painting company, and I worked for a painting contractor. She was a newspaper reporter from the Midwest. Gave up that profession and started painting. And she used to mock me and scoff. But that day in Ames, man, oh man. Yes, amen. We have lots of testimonies. And an interesting thing about that story, if you research it, he never knew how to jump. He never knew how to leap because he never could. Did you ever think about that? Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Until he saw me.
But God.
Yes. Yes. That's right. Yes. Amen. But then I'm going to tell you a little secret. No, maybe not today. You'll have to come back next week. Tune in for part 3 of 47, I don't know. Mark 15 is not in the Bible. Mark 16, the Great Commission, never was in the manuscripts. Anyway, it's in mine. Hallelujah, let's pray. Oh, does anybody need prayer? Any among you? We good? Awesome. That's what we like, a strong, thriving, healthy church. Thank you, Lord. That's a good testimony. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful experience we had in all of us being together today and encouraging one another in our faith and building each other up. We thank you for your word that is so filled with riches and treasures from heaven, that does a body good, does a spirit man good, good for our minds as we renew them to your word, changes the way we think, changes the way we see life and the outcome and the plan that you have for our lives. Thank you for the songs of praise and worship. Thank you that it takes us out of ourselves and puts us thinking about you and meditating on you. Thank you today for the prayers. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the gifts and the skills and the talents that you've placed within each of us. And we have a place where we can come and freely share them. Thank you as we leave today. There's been true nuggets of truth that your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, spoke to each one of us that we can take home with us. Scriptures that we can come back and read them again and refresh ourselves in the things that we heard today. Thank you as we go. We go with your grace and your mercy, your compassion. Thank you that you continuously work in our lives by your Spirit to always be sure that we're tender-hearted and not become hardened in heart. Thank you that we're sweet and not bitter. Thank you that we're life and not death. Thank you that we're love and not hate. Thank you that we walk in your favor. Thank you our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's so many things, Lord, that we're thankful for. Thank you for you, for who you are. There is no other God like you. There never has been, there isn't, and there never will be, ever. You alone are the only true, eternal God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we leave this place with praise and thanksgiving on our lips And we look forward, we anticipate a blessed afternoon, because we've been having the privilege of being in your presence and getting a little taste of things to come that are going to be so glorious that we won't even hardly be able to describe what we experienced. And we thank you for today, and thank you as we go our ways. You keep us safe, keep us healthy, keep us whole, and keep us living the life that Jesus Christ died to give us. In Jesus' name, amen.